Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 6, 2015. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XX, starting with paragraph 1 for review, and we'll start our study on paragraph 2 today. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Diane G., The 12 Traditions, Janice B. Reading the text today would be Martha Z., Marcella M., and Elizabeth S. The reference number for yesterday, which is Monday, October 5th, is 8085. 8085. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Diane G. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Diane G. from New Hampshire. Grateful to be here this morning. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Melanie, and I pass.
Thank you, Diane G. And I will now ask Janice B., are you there to read the 12 traditions?
Yes, I am. Good morning, visionaries. This is Janice B., compulsive overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Janice B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume the study of the Big Book on page XX, paragraph 1, and I will ask Martha Z to begin our study. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Melanie. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Thank you for being there. My name's Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered by the grace of God from near Philadelphia. Good morning, friends in recovery. Another reason for wide acceptance of AA was the ministration of friends, friends in medicine, religion, and the press, together with innumerable others who became our able and persistent advocates. Without such support, AA could have made only the slowest progress. Some of the recommendations of AA's early medical and religious friends will be found further on in this book. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as with the men of religion. And I want to start with the part where it said that we're not a religious organization. And we often say, well, in my mind, religion is more about what the rules and the ritual and the structure is. But we call ourselves a spiritual program. And that's a wonderful thing because it makes us all inclusive, and it doesn't turn anybody away who's turned off by that spiritual approach. And so in Bill's story, you know, Ebby says to him, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" And then We Agnostics on page 46, it says, "Our own conception of God was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him." And in the realm of the spirit is broad and roomy, all inclusive, never exclusive, open to all men. So let's see, and my favorite is AA's 12 and 12, which says the hoop we have to jump through is wider than we think. And anyway, so it's a blessing because it makes this program open to everyone. And then it talks about how we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as the men of religion. And I think about the paragraph that I read earlier talks about how, about our friends in religion and medicine, and that they were our persistent advocates. And what I was just thinking about that is there doesn't need to be any competition with that. It's like we're all on the same team. We have the same goal. We want to help the still suffering compulsive overeaters. So I think that's all I have. Thank you so much for letting me give service.
Thank you, Martha Z. Who would like to comment on what was read today? Press star 1 to unmute.
This is Larry.
Hi, Larry K. Anyone else?
Reva P.
Reva P. Okay, well, we'll start with Larry K. this morning. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Melanie. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So what I read here, you know, I'll just focus in on the religious organization concept. You know, for me, you know, when I first walked into the rooms of OA, had they espoused a specific religion, you know, that would have turned me off. It may not have had the same impact on others. That's okay. I know for me, I probably never would have had the opportunity to pursue this if I had that sense, you know, that it was a religious organization in some sense. And it wasn't that. It was I was very attracted to the fact that when I walked in there, people were espousing, you know, spiritual concepts. Now that was very attractive to me, but I quickly learned that that what those spiritual concepts were, that we, you know, this was somewhat generic in that sense, that, you know, really have a higher power of your own understanding, and that it was absolutely a spiritual program. I got that pretty soon after learning what was in the big book, but it wasn't a specific religious organization. You know, a religious organization would be sort of like any affiliated group that's primary purpose is in support of that particular theological orientation. So, you know, for example, if I attended a Catholic university, no big surprise there that they are going to teach and support Catholic principles. If I go into a Jewish community center, a JCC, you know, of course they're going to support, you know, those things that are important to the Jewish community and that particular faith. So, you know, so that was what was so unique here for me, is just the beauty that, you know, that this was something that I could, anybody could be a part of this. And that's the hope here, is that these 12 steps can bring someone into alignment with a higher power of their own understanding. And that was a beautiful thing for me, because it was kind of a springboard that I actually ultimately further developed a close connection with the higher power of my own understanding. And that made all the difference for me. And so now, just wrapping up, I'll say that, you know, I communicate with people with of all different, you know, religious faiths, orientations, denominations, agnostics, atheists, makes no difference. If someone is willing to find a power greater than themselves, they can have this thing. So thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous in OA. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry K. Reva P.
Good morning. This is Reva P., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto. For me, I actually had a lot of religious education growing up, and I went through a period where I did try religion to sort of get something in my life right, but it didn't work. And I actually never understood or even thought about the fact that there was a difference between religion and spirituality. That was never part of my religious education, so it was a totally foreign concept. I'm extremely grateful that the 12-step programs are non-denominational and not religious organization affiliated, because myself as well, I would have just walked out the door. I had that already in one form, and it really didn't do much at all for my overeating problem. And for me, the spiritual aspect, you know, apparently what I'm learning in this big book is my problem is a lack of power. So the solution is finding a power greater than myself. Now, that power doesn't have to be God. It could be anything greater than myself. And for me, that concept, first of all, it was so refreshing to fire my old God, which was my higher power, because it was so negative, it was so punishing, it was so counter helpful for my food addiction. And then to start creating a power greater than myself, but my own conception that if I had my choice, what would that power be? What would it do for me? And that's been an evolution. That's something that constantly deepens and changes. And that's very different than the God that I pray to as a younger person. So I'm so grateful that not only is it non-denominational, but we get to create and come up with our own conception of any power. And it could be anything. And I know several people who are atheists in this program, and they still have a power greater than themselves. And I just think it's just so brilliant. I'm grateful because I never, ever knew what, you know, having a spiritual life meant before this program. That's it, and I pass.
Thank you, Reva P. And we are on page XX, focusing our study today in comments on paragraph 2. Who else would like to comment on what was read?
Matt M.
Barbara B.
Kim G.
Sue G.
I have Matt M., Sue G., and Kim G. Anybody else?
Barbara B.
All right, Barbara, we'll put you on the lineup too. Anybody else? Okay, good morning, Matt M. Let's start with you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my fellow visionaries. This is Matt M., a recovering compulsive overeater just for today in the rooms, New Jersey. Yeah, this paragraph is really important to me. It also goes to the heart of the chapter 4 as well, the agnostics. I needed to hear this because, you know, a lot of us, me, I can speak for myself, I grew up with a lot of pain, a lot of indoctrination that really just put me, when I first came in the rooms and I heard the word God, I ran for the hills. I was in the rooms for 8 years struggling with this concept until last year when I realized that, you know, it's not all about me. You know, I had to really give up a lot of my preconceived notions of what I had and just put down that my torch and my attitude towards religion and towards the concept of a higher power and just let that debating society go. I'm stubborn to a fault, and that just kept me in the food for so many years, in and out, even sponsoring while I was on abstinence and not being honest with myself. This disease turns me into a liar, and I really had to come to terms with some really core, hardcore beliefs and truths about myself that were hard to face. They were really like gut-wrenching to deal with. And I realized I didn't want to get into recovery because I just didn't want to deal with the concept of God. And the fact that, you know, every time I hear the word God now in the big book, I don't get upset anymore like I used to. I just say, go to orderly direction. Because for me, that's what it is, you know. There's a lot of concepts that are bigger than I am. And the only thing I have to concede to myself is that there is a God and it's not me. You know, it's not me. Left to my own devices, it didn't work. Matt's program did not work 8 years in the rooms. And, you know, I finally conceded that, you know, for me to work this program, I just have to silence those inner thoughts and ask to have them removed. And they have been removed on a daily basis. And for me, to feel inclusive, and I deal with people on a daily basis who are agnostic. I haven't really had that many atheists, but even if I have, the hoop is wider than we think. I just have to be willing, like I said, just have to be willing to shut that inner debate off in my head that tells me, you know, this doesn't want to work, this is not, you know, you have to do this, you have to put, you know, and I just let all those things go, you know, because I want recovery, and I want to be able to say, you know, to help others, and that's the primary purpose, you know. And for me, I just have to take myself out of the equation and just surrender to the process. So, you know, the only step I have to take perfectly every day is step one. And then to believe that something can help me that's greater than myself, that's step two. So, you know, as long as I take those two steps every morning, I'm on my way to where I need to go to get recovered. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Matt M. Sue G., you're next.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a little frog in my throat. But on page 49, we agnostic, it tells us not to be prejudiced of those of faith, and why not to be? If I had to come into a meeting and it had been a denominational meeting and not just a open to God as I understand him, it would have turned me off also. I am a person of faith, but I grew up with a loving God, so I didn't have any problem. The only problem I had, I mean, yes, I had a problem. It was a spiritual problem. I had never found the way to have that spiritual daily connection with God and to be able to really turn everything over to him, to let go of everything and submit fully, including my food, including my preconceived notions. I've learned not to be prejudiced against those who are a different denomination of me if they let it known in a meeting. But I don't like it when they do that, because we aren't a religious organization, you know, in that sense that, you know, I don't walk into a Catholic meeting, I don't walk into a Protestant meeting. But it's God, my God is the creator God, as step 7 prayer says. And I don't mention what denomination I am. All I mention is God. And so I thought when I read We Agnostics, I won't have any problem with this, but I found it so filled with faith that I had a spiritual experience, which I had already thought I'd had in my religious life, but I had, there was so much more to offer me. But I love, you know, I love this, that paragraph that specifically that we're talking about right now, because it's important that we realize that we're not a Christian, you know, a Christian or a religious organization, but to be tolerant and not to be prejudiced against those that are. We just don't proselytize or, you know, mention exactly the details, but we're free to mention church or mention prayer. And those that don't are free to mention however they pray or however they get their meditation skills. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Suji. Kim G., you're next.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. This is such the crux of the success of Alcoholics Anonymous, this idea that we are not affiliated with any specific religious denomination, so we're not excluding anyone. And I remember for myself, you know, I grew up in religious schools for 12 years, so I never read the chapter We Agnostics. It just didn't seem relevant to me. And that was a turning point, because We Agnostics is not telling us to believe in God. It's not telling us who God is. It's trying to convince us that we need a power. We need a power. And I remember a big book teacher talking about the fact that even if I was comfortable with that power or my relationship with a God, that it was my responsibility to know that chapter so I could help people who did not believe in God. And that is what I feel is so essential, is regardless of my beliefs, my job as a recovered person is to make sure that hoop is big, that I am not making that hoop smaller because I'm inflicting my beliefs on anybody else. You know, I had a great teacher, someone I worked with who was agnostic, who taught me how to say power instead of God, who taught me that these steps, the power of these steps are amazing, because this person does not believe in God and was able to recover regardless of what her specific beliefs were. You know, step 2, I think a lot of people sit in it thinking, I have to have this relationship with God, and I have to have a specific idea, and I have to have characteristics of a power. All step 2 is a need for a power. Do you need a power? Does your step 1 with powerlessness convince you need a power? It's not till step 11 that we get a relationship with that power. So it's the steps in between that we will develop that relationship, whatever it will be, and we're not told what it has to be. You know, I often get concerned when I hear people say, well, I will only sponsor people of my specific faith. And I'm not just concerned for the people that they're sponsoring, I'm concerned for them. Because if you're limiting your ability to help people because people have to believe like you, my personal belief is you're risking your abstinence. Because we have to be out there helping all compulsive overeaters, not people that have, you know, the belief system we do. And I personally am tickled when I bring someone through the steps and they ask me a question and they go, oh, my God, I thought you were the same religious faith I am. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Because my faith is irrelevant to what I'm teaching. I'm teaching them to have a relationship with the power, not the power that I have, but the power that they need. And I personally describe myself as a spiritual mutt. You know, in step 11, we're encouraged to have to go out and seek other ways. I read all types of spiritual books from all types of religions. And I have to tell you, I have never, ever found a spiritual book that is in conflict with the 12 steps. It's always complementary. It amazes to me every time I read a book and I think, wow, that's just like step 11. Wow, that just reminds me of step 4. We are all inclusive, never exclusive, and we have to remember that, not for our, just for ourselves, but when we're helping others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim G. Barbara B.
Thank you. This is Barbara B., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And I love looking at this paragraph because, AA, OA is not a religious organization, nor is it medical. But my own experience is that I tried for many years to let my religious practices help me with food addiction, and it never did. I could pray, I could be involved in the religious practices, and then I could go and eat to deal with my inability to deal with life. So it didn't help me. However, I can remember very well when I went to yet another attempt to, quote, detox and fast, and the director said, you're back again. And I said, I don't know what is happening, why I can't hold it. And he said, maybe you've got to get religion. And he was not a, quote, religious person. But I felt in retrospect that that was kind of like Ebby sitting at the table with Bill Wilson. You know, I've got religion. Because once I came to OA and once I found the 12 steps and a path, a spiritual path, and relief from the food addiction and learning how to live and using a spiritual basis with a practical program of action, as it says, I had my launching pad. I could then, quote, get religion. I could use the religion I grew up with, and I could use all religions and their practices and have them enrich my growth, transform me, and enlarge my life, and improve the quality of life, both from physical, emotional, and spiritual life. So I'm not saying that I want to say it's not a religious organization and be adamant about not using appropriate religious sources and religious writers. I don't want to be prejudiced against them. I want to value them. And that's my experience now. I value them because they feed my 12-step way of life. And I have heard spiritual religious writers say the 12 steps is the religion of this century. And that's my wonderful, grateful experience. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara B. Is there anyone else that would like to comment on this paragraph before we move on?
Renata.
Hi, Renata.
Alice M. Hi, Melanie. It's Linda D. in Connecticut. I'd like to share.
Okay. And Carol G. Okay, I got a line up here that should probably take us on. I'm going to go with Renata G., Alice M., Linda, and Carol. Good morning, Renata.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Renata G., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the man of medicine as well as with the man of religion. And this is a good paragraph for me today. And what it makes me think of is, you know, having an open mind. And, you know, the things this paragraph talks about, right, religion and, you know, doctors, these are all man-made powers, right? And I know there were not enough to, you know, get my disease arrested. Right, in the past, like I know man-made power is not sufficient. I need to believe in a higher power. But it's saying here, you know, be open-minded. Like in step 11 on page 87, it says, you know, be quick to see where religious people are right, you know. And so, like, this is a spiritual program. We practice these principles in all of our affairs, like every day. But, you know, if there are certain religions that have some practices that we can incorporate, that we can make, you know, better use of these principles and have more discipline, you know, saying be open to that. Don't be closed-minded. Same thing with, you know, medicine, with the doctors. You know, I knew doctors could not cure my disease in the past. It could not relieve my obsession of the mind. But, you know, be open to, you know, what doctors have to say about your health. You know, make use of what they have to offer. And so that's what I get from it today. I know that before coming to program, I used to practice religion, but no principles. So I would go to church and pray and go out in the world and be resentful and fearful and harm people. And, you know, living a spiritual life rather than a religious life is very, very different. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Renata G. Alice M.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Alice M., a compulsive overeater and bulimic from Florida. And true, this is not a religious organization. I'm really grateful for that. But, you know, we can't deny that it got its roots and it was deeply influenced by the religion of the day, which was the evangelical Pietism of the Oxford group. You know, that is where this book, that is where this movement comes from. And I tell you, when I went to my first meeting, and I was in treatment, it was in 1985. I can't remember if it was OA or AA. I have a feeling it was AA because it was a huge room. And, you know, I was told, or I heard before, you know, we're told it's a spiritual program, not a religious one. Any higher power is okay, but I tell you what, you could have fooled me. You could have fooled me. What I heard in that room was, you know, a God, more than God, you know, Lord and He and Him, and throughout the literature, you know, it was, they say any higher power is okay, but there's a capital H and a capital P, which suggests a deity. And for this non-religious person, any kind of deity was not going to work for me. And I became so uncomfortable with the language that I rejected the whole program. You know, I threw the baby out with the bathwater. And in so doing, I lost a wonderful chance to change and enrich my life. You know, I had to seek resources. And this was just recently, resources that could help me as a non-religious person accept the healing power of the steps. You know, I have no doubt, you know, I believe in this program. I believe in the transformative power of these steps, and I wanted to be able to do it. You know, so, you know, it was as if, you know, we can say it's not a religious organization, but it's steeped in, the language is steeped in religion. And it's just, you know, from the period of time where it was pulled from. And, you know, when I would read through it, it would be like picking up a book in French, and I don't speak French very well. And so I would have to carefully translate it into my own native Spanish, let's say, if I were Spanish speaking. And I found resources, thank goodness, that helped me do that. You know, that now, you know, I have learned now how to extract the actions and the principles of those original steps and put them into a secular context, you know, so I can understand this and work this program also. You know, it just makes it clearer for me and for others that are secular also. It's, you know, it's easier to bring my own spiritual meaning to a 12-step way of living, you know. And I love this saying that I heard once, you know, whether a person believes in God, whether a person is Jewish, Christian, Mohammedan, atheist, or agnostic, none of this matters. You know, what does matter is that we learn to live this 12-step way of life, and that even more important, you know, it's that we commit ourselves to this journey. You know, it's not important how we climb the mountain, just that we commit ourselves to this journey. But I was, you know, the whole religion thing, you know, I struggled and struggled with that and finally had to stand in my truth and say, look, acting as if is done, Alice. It's not your truth. This is a program of honesty, and I need to live in my integrity around this and find a way to work this program and get this healing that others are getting. If they're, you know, it's more easily if you're, you know, Judeo-Christian, you know, reading through this book, it just is easier, an easier read. So I'm just so grateful to people that have gone before me that have shown me that I don't need to throw this out. I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Alice M. Linda D.
Good morning. It's Linda D. from Connecticut. This is one of my favorite experiences or topics to talk about. I'm absolutely so grateful that it's not a religious program. And some of the things that bother other people bothered me too. I had a gift, and that gift was I was a little kid inside. And so when I got the idea that I had to have God in my life, and I didn't believe in God, I was an atheist, really an atheist. Not because I wanted to be, but because nothing made any sense to me, and there's a lot of horror in the world. So because I was a little kid, I talked to this higher power. I acted as if, because that was suggested. Yes, it was dumb. And Lord knows I was raised to be an intellectual. Forget that. That doesn't work. But anyway, so I acted as if, and I did the steps over and over and over. And it gave me the experience. All I said, and my prayer was, and it was from the tips of my toes, I was terrified because I was sure God was not real. Whatever it wasn't real. And my prayer was, show me that you're real beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I thought, can you really say something fresh like that? Well, yeah, I did. And I said it a lot. And this force showed up in my life through those steps over and over and over. All the synchronicities until I got a sense of it so strong that it guides my life all day, every day, if I'm doing it, you know, as well as I can. It's totally an amazing experience. It has nothing to do for me with self-help. It has nothing to do with that. It's a power within, and I feel it, and I know it, and anybody can, and that's why I don't push other people. Their path is within them, and that power will guide them to what is right for them. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Linda D. Carol G.
And
then we'll move on to the next paragraph. Hi, Carol. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Good morning, Vision for You. It's Carol G. Recovered One Day at a Time. I think what I was going to share was, I was going to share around about the medical view. The medical people, the medical fraternity, they really tried to fix my body. They really tried to help me. Even the psychologists tried to help me. But I kept putting the damaging substances back into my body again, and I could not cooperate with their plans or their designs. And I think for me, the alcoholic foods that I ate didn't respect the human body, my body. And the disease itself that lives within me has one job, one purpose, and that is to kill the precious body that I live in. And the food that I stuffed into myself was a rapacious creditor. And here in this big book, I can see the big book respecting our humanness, who we are, wherever we come from, whatever culture. And my body is being respected too, because in the solution that they're offering to me, I'm given a way to shield myself from consuming that beautifully wrapped disease, because it has a system that I can believe in. And I meet people all the time with many different traditions, beliefs and cultures. And religion for me, I looked it up in the dictionary and it said a system of faith. And I liked that because it helped me change the word. And it helped me to find a way in with some of this language, because I know today that we're all descendants of Bill and Bob, the first 100. And on that family tree, I know that through those generations, the message can get distorted, the message can get diluted. And me as a compulsive overeater, I need to take a very undiluted message every single day. My medicine must be as potent and strong as it ever was in the first place. So as it goes through the generations, cutting through boundaries, never minding culture, it can get right to the heart of anybody who reads it. It's been translated into so many different languages as well, which is awesome. So today for me, what I call back to basics is always going back to this big book and seeing how it speaks to us no matter where I come from, whatever I've tried. And I'll just share quickly. I even remember going to see a priest once whilst I was in the church, and he said to me in a confession, he said, "Carol, I think what you need to do is treat your eating disorder before you can speak to God directly. You're just not getting a clear line." And I thought, goodness me, what a signpost. That man must have known something. So thank God for him, thank God for you, and thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. I pass.
Thank you, Carol G., and we'll move on now to the next couple of paragraphs that finishes out this particular chapter. Marcella M., would you start with reading paragraph 3 and 4 for us today?
Sure. Good morning. Thank you, Melanie, and good morning, visionaries. My name is Marcella M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Alcohol being no respecter of persons, we are an accurate cross-section of America, and in distant lands, the same democratic evening up process is now going on. By personal religious affiliation, we include Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Hindus, and a sprinkle of Muslims and Buddhists. More than 15% of us are women. Do you want 2, Melanie, or just 1?
Yes, please go ahead and finish that out for us. Thank you.
At present, our membership is pyramiding at the rate of about 20% a year. So far, upon the total problem of several million actual and potential alcoholics in the world, we have made only a scratch. In all probability, we shall never be able to touch more than a fair fraction of the alcohol problem in all its ramifications. Upon therapy for the alcoholic himself, we surely have no monopoly. Yet it's our great hope that all those who have as yet found no answer may begin to find one in the pages of this book and will presently join us on the high road to a new freedom. So this paragraph, in a way, begins to say alcohol being no respecter of persons. Well, I know that, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're young men, women, religious or not, if you're born in this country or not, food addiction is food addiction, and it'll get you if you're a potential food addict, a compulsive overeater like I am. So food addiction and compulsive overeating is no respecter of persons either, but the good news is that recovery is accessible to all who want it also. So just by showing up and saying I am eligible for this grant because I have the disease, it's great hope. So the only thing that kind of surprises me is that it says by personal religious affiliation, but it doesn't say here we absolutely do not need a religious affiliation in order for this process to work. Even though I consider myself a religious person, I love what the previous speaker said, that I'm always translating or trying to translate this message into secular words. I always make a conscious effort to sponsor people without any trace of religious language, translated into secular facts, so that to make accessible to everybody, to as much people as possible. Then what it says, at present, our membership is pyramiding at the rate of about 20% a year. This is not something that happened back there and then only, and we're just reading the history of how the community and the fellowship of AA came to be. This is something that is happening to us right here, right now. Sometimes I like to talk to the very first people that started this meeting, this phone meeting, and I learned that there were like 40 people who started this meeting, and they were a splinter from some other phone meeting. And then they started, and from 40, they jumped to 60, from 60 to 100, from 100 to, I don't know how many we are, but we're a ton. And now we're not stopping there. Like, I know that there are live meetings in Canada, and now we have live meetings in Boston, and now we're getting together in Virginia in a couple of weeks, and we're pyramiding. We're expanding, and we need to expand, and we need to grow, because as it says here in this paragraph, we shall never be able to touch more than a fair fraction of the food, the compulsive overeating problem, in all its ramifications. When I look around, you know, even in my community, which is, you know, a lovely community in Jamaica Plain in Boston, the problem is so terrible. Sometimes I think, can we translate this into teenage language, into children's language? Can we make overeaters for families whose children are obese and whose moms are obese? We will never be able to really, this message is so badly needed to so many kinds of populations that the only thing that we can do, if we have had the blessing of being recovered today, is to try to spread the message. Can't wait to see you and hug you all. I love you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marcella. Who would like to comment on these two paragraphs this morning?
Melissa.
From New York.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, Charles. Anybody else? Well, let's go with that for now. Hi, Melissa. You can go up first and then Charles.
Hi, good morning. This is Melissa C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, that just that alcohol is no respecter of persons. And, you know, so it doesn't discriminate. Although, you know, when I was in the throes of my food addiction, to me, I had such a narrow, self-absorbed view that it seemed like it did discriminate. You know, I thought people that had money, people that had a better education, people that had something that I didn't have somehow didn't have this problem. You know, and so I was judging from the outside. And so I didn't realize that there could be people who looked like they were in normal-sized bodies being tormented by the same compulsion that I have. You know, and then when I think about it even further, this disease has no respect. You know, it has no regard for money, for religion, for, you know, it's like the great equalizer. And, you know, and nor has it respected me in any part of my life. You know, I was thinking this morning how even on my wedding day, when I look at pictures of what I looked like on my wedding day almost 19 years ago, I looked thin, I looked young, I looked happy, and I have a memory of being tormented by my wedding cake, that I, even in my wedding, this disease had no respect for me. Even on my honeymoon, I remember being, you know, craved for the food. And even, you know, as a brand new mother, when I had just given birth, you would think surely I would be immune from it then. And yet again, I remember being craved for the food. Or when I was grieving, you know, so it's had no respect for me in any area of my life, and no respect for or no regard for what my financial situation would be. It's like the great equalizer. And the beautiful thing that I'm seeing today is that that is actually drawing me closer to my fellows, that here is this common bond, this thing that I thought I was the only person suffering from, and it's making me grow in my relations with my fellows today. Thank you, God, that I'm recovered and that I can, you know, sort of get out of that self-pitying frame of mind. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa C. And Charles H., you're next, and we'll probably be able to take one more person.
Thank you, Melanie
Charles.
Thank you, Melanie C., for your service. Charles H., a recovered visionary just for today. Wow, that's some good stuff here, man. A lot of stuff to unpack. Can't do it in one day. You know, I just want to, like, sprinkle all over. This just reminds me of K 17. We're a bunch that would not mix if it wasn't for if it wasn't for this affliction. And I just want to say, affiliation and advocation is two different things. I could be rooting for you, but I ain't really necessarily got to be on your team. I'm joined together with you by this affliction, and together we can recover. What love Bill W. and them first 100 people had. You know, I just had a vision. Can you imagine, you know, the big book without the doctor opinion? Yeah, Dr. Silkworth, the medical saint. Can you imagine this book without the doctor's opinion? This beautiful man telling me that I got an allergy to certain things that I need to stay away from. You know, I'm not even going to go there with the religious part because you guys shared greatly on that. I'm going to go at it from the doctor, a medical point of view. Can you imagine this book without the doctor's opinion? You know, I mean, my diabetic doctor said, why don't you go to OA? Can you imagine? Can I imagine life without the medical opinion? I really can't. So, you know, yeah, we may have personal faiths, but like somebody shared beautifully, as long as you have some type of faith in something else besides yourself, it's sufficient to bring forth, to commence to get results. To commence to get results. You know, a doctor told me, hey, Charles, why don't you try Overeaters Anonymous, man? You're too young to be going through all this. This was years ago. I'm an old man now. But, you know, I thank God for that doctor. I thank God, my higher power. And, you know, yeah, the numbers, I'm not really good with the numbers. You know, I'm just grateful that 80 years later, this message is getting to me. And I just want to put out there, ladies, there's some females that's in need of sponsorship. So please make yourself available to them because they call in, you know, men. And, you know, it's all good, but I'm just saying, there's some suffering people out there that need this message, this program of action. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Charles. And time will allow for one additional share this morning. Who would like to be tongue-tied? Who would like to take that spot? Hi, Janice.
Janice.
Hi, Janice. We have time for just that one more space today. And folks, please stay over for the next hour, which is coming up right after announcements. Thank you, Janice. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning to you, Melanie, and everyone. My name is Janice M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm going to talk about upon therapy, that fourth paragraph, page XXI, upon therapy for the alcoholic. What's the therapy here? Well, the therapy that we found, that I found in this book, is the solution. It's the treatment for my compulsive overeating. And, you know, I see a lot of humility written in this paragraph by them saying, we don't have any monopoly. In other words, we don't own this book. There's a lot of, you know, displays humility. Yet, that means, for me, it said, you know, if you're out there and you haven't got a solution yet, you don't have an answer yet to your, you know, compulsive overeating. This is what it said to me. If you don't have an answer yet, Janice, you know what? Maybe you'll find an answer in this book, you know. You'll find a solution. You know, we don't own it. There's not only one way, but this is the way I found through this book, you know, the freedom that the problem has been removed. And that's what I see in this paragraph. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janice M. And that cuts us short by a couple of minutes, but we will continue to close. And thank you to everyone who shared today. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study that's going to be following immediately after the closing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elizabeth S. please read A Vision for You? A book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hello, Melanie. Thank you for your service. My name is Elizabeth S. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada, by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great offense will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until